You're listening to a EuroCities podcast.
Welcome, everyone. I'm Eleonora from the governance team of the EuroCities Secretariat, and today we are here to discuss the Urban Agenda, which, as you may know already, is an integrated and coordinated approach to deal with the urban dimension of EU and national policies and legislation. By focusing on concrete priority teams within dedicated partnerships, the Urban Agenda seeks to improve the quality of life of urban areas. We are joined for this conversation by Pietro Reviglio, who is a policy officer on governance at EuroCities and has been following the development of the Urban Agenda for the past years. So, welcome, Pietro, and let me start straight away with the question we have for you. Could you tell us a bit more where are we at with the Urban Agenda and what we should expect from the next phase of the Urban Agenda following the recent adoption of the Lublin Agreement?
Yeah, very good question. So, with the Lublin Agreement that was adopted last week on 26th of November, basically, we turned a new page for the urban agenda because their ministers, commissioners, and representatives of local authorities and cities, including us, agreed on a new way of working together for the coming years for this new phase of the urban agenda. And so we had a good opportunity to look back at the urban agenda, at the past phase of the urban agenda. And so over the past year, we have worked together with all the stakeholders of the urban agenda to develop a good governance framework that would ensure and will ensure a better delivery of the urban agenda in the new phase. And so when I say that with the adoption of the Lublin Agreement, we are in a new phase, I mean that we have set, let's say, the rules for the next phase for what we like to call the Urban Agenda 2.0. And also very important, we have also defined some new priority teams that correspond to the challenges that cities face on the ground and that were gathered with the support of the EuroCities network and with different workshops and exchanges with members of EuroCities. And so these new four priority teams that have been included in the Lublin Agreement are sustainable tourism, greening cities, equalities in the city, as well as food. So these four themes, I think you would all agree that these are pressing themes for cities. And these are themes that will be also very well developed and, let's say, operationalizable at the European level in a multi-level and multi-stakeholder setup, which means that the commissions of the European Commission, the services of the European Commission and the ministries at national level expressed, let's say, an interest to work on this theme. So we are really much looking forward to this new phase. And so when you ask me what is the when can we expect the urban agenda to start, clearly we are in a transition phase. There are still 14 partnerships from the previous phase that are relevant. And many of these, or at least a few of these, are still working. Two of them, the partnership on security and the partnership on culture, are still delivering and working on their actions, and to finalize their actions and deliver their actions. Whereas some other partnerships, such as the one on housing, for instance, they're still delivering, but more in an informal way. They are continuing their existence. But as I said, with the Lublin Agreement, we turn into a new phase and we're also looking forward. And then this means that these four themes that I just mentioned will hopefully be further developed and become a new thematic partnership in the new phase. In practical terms, from 2022 onwards, member state, commission, cities, all the stakeholders have agreed to work together on, firstly, on two themes, greening cities and sustainable tourism. And so there will be a process of what we call ex ante assessment, which will be mostly a way in which we will be able to develop these themes in a way that they will deliver in a partnership setup. And so this ex ante assessment process will go on for around 6 months and will result in some recommendations, and hopefully will give the mandate for the new Secretariat of the Urban Agenda, which is currently being developed and which will take place and force sometime over the second half of 2022. And so with the support of the Secretariat and with this ex-ante assessment, we should be able to open the procedure for a new phase of partnerships, two partnerships to start. So we will start to have calls for partners. And so we really think that cities, of course, will be really looking forward to work on these new partnerships. And so we really hope that some of them will apply and will try to become coordinators or co-coordinators of these new partnerships that really correspond to some pressing challenges, both locally, nationally, and at the European level, and that will really require a joint work to be tackled effectively and to deliver on the challenges that are associated with it.
Thank you for your answer. And now, could you tell us a bit more in detail what it is expected from the Ljubljana Agreement and why it is important?
Sure. I mean, the Ljubljana Agreement, it's, let's say, a short political document, which includes different sections, different parts. But as I was mentioning earlier, it's really about enhancing the effectiveness of the urban agenda and building, of course, on the Pact of Amsterdam. I said that this is a new phase, but the principles of the Pact of Amsterdam are still relevant, and the Ljubljana Agreement is reinforcing these principles. And so it's also trying to look back at lessons learned. There was an assessment study that was conducted a few years ago, and that was conducted on behalf of the European Commission. And this assessment report highlighted some of the deficiencies and some of the things that could be improved in this new phase about the last phase of the urban agenda. Of course, the urban agenda has always been an experimental exercise. And so we were always looking at this as a learning process. And so the Ljubljana Agreement, what it tries to do, and it does so, by the way, building on a much longer process of co-creation and discussion at the intergovernmental level, in which we as Eurocities have taken a strong role, and together with our members, of course. And so the Ljubljana Agreement builds on the new Leipzig Charter, that is, let's say, the EU strategy for urban policy and very much connected with the urban agenda, and built also on what the Portuguese presidency worked on, which was defining, let's say, some aspects of the governance of the urban agenda and its delivery mechanisms, and so that this could be improved in this new phase. So in practical terms, so the Ljubljana Agreement looks at governments, looks also at the way different stakeholders, different partners work inside the urban agenda, looks at so how this multi-level governance can be improved, how we can improve the effectiveness and the participation of all the stakeholders. So this is a crucial point that the Ljubljana Agreement tried to look at. It looks at the Secretariat, the kind of support that this coordinating body, let's say, can provide to the different partnerships and to the different members of the partnerships. And so, in particular, it looks at how we can strengthen then the delivery in this partnership setup. And so it was identified, for instance, by the assessment study that there was, let's say, a lack of technical and legal know-how to turn the recommendations of the partnerships into something that would impact EU policies and impact the way EU policies are implemented locally. And so the Ljubljana Agreement, in a way, tries to take this into account and to, through the Secretariat, at least partly, provide some support that can help partnerships better deliver, particularly as regards to the better regulation trend, which was, let's say, one of the most important ones, but also one of the strands that also had a problem in delivering. So this was one aspect, for instance, where the Ljubljana Agreement tries to make a difference. At the same time, it's also about the way themes are decided and the way partnerships and plans for partnerships are set up. So one point was, let's say, the uneven involvement of all members in the partnerships. And so in some cases, some partners, some commission departments or some ministries, or even sometimes some cities were not super involved and were not able to involve as they could have or should have or would have. And so the Ljubljana Agreement tries to make this up by providing better support for the partners to participate, but also to make sure that from the beginning, all the members, all the actors are committed around the themes and agree on the theme. And also, very important also in relation to the better regulation trend, it was very important for the Ljubljana Agreement to define the principle that new themes, or in general, themes of the partnership approach should be more targeted, oriented, and much better connected with the policy cycle at the European level. And this is why, let's say, the four themes that have been added to the priority list in the Ljubljana Agreement, priority themes list, were very much discussed and will go through this ex-ante assessment to make sure that they're developed in a way that delivers. So I think these are some of the main aspects that the Ljubljana Agreement looks at. But in general, I think the overarching message of the Ljubljana Agreement is to maintain this strong support to the urban agenda and confirming the political support coming from all the levels of the urban agenda. And this was clear by the strong adoption of the Ljubljana Agreement in Slovenia just end of November. And so, of course, Eurocities had a crucial role in all the definition of the Ljubljana Agreement and in all the process that led to the Ljubljana Agreement. And so we have been participating into this intergovernmental discussion, but also into what is called the Urban Agenda Technical Preparatory Group, which is a smaller group of experts that was, let's say, discussing how the governance could be improved and how the delivery mechanism could be improved and how themes that are relevant for all the actors and that are manageable could be picked. So we were there, and we were there, of course, not just as Eurocities Secretariat, but also as representative of many cities that were involved in the previous phase of the urban agenda, and that with their intelligence were providing us with the good arguments and the good ideas that we were then able to push in the process. And we've pushed and advocated for various points, but the first and most important point was to retain the multi-level and multi-stakeholder character of the urban agenda, which is not a granted. Of course, it's one of the defining principles of the Pact of Amsterdam, but we wanted to bring forward the message that also the governance structure should take this into account. And so cities should be treated as equal in these discussions. And so this was a point that we were really, really pushing for. Another major point that we were pushing throughout the process was, let's say, a more impactful urban agenda. I mean, I can imagine some of the partnerships delivered really well and were a good success and had a strong impact at the European level, even influencing resolution at the European Parliament, influencing new proposals from the European Commission, and really having a great impact. But this was not the case for all the partnerships. And in some cases, let's say, very good, high-quality action plans and recommendations were, let's say, not taken into account so much. So this was because of various reasons, but often also what we've seen is that the services of the Commission or the national governments represented by ministries were not super involved. So let's say in the Ljubljana Agreement throughout the process, we really pushed for this point to be better taken into account. And last but not least, we also, let's say, pushed for an urban agenda that looks at the partnerships, but also wants to go beyond the urban agenda as such, and wants to connect more widely through new programs such as the European Urban Initiative with cohesion policy, with other programs. And in general, the idea was to not keep the urban agenda within the urban agenda, but to expand it and to make sure that the amazing results and recommendations of the urban agenda were also taken into consideration at the national level and were also, let's say, communicated locally to many cities around Europe. So these were the various points that we were pushing for. And I think we've been relatively successful into bringing this forward in the Ljubljana Agreement and the associated multi-annual program, which is, let's say, it's a roadmap and also, let's say, a further definition of rules on how we should work together to basically connect Europe with cities in a much more effective and strong way.
When talking about the Ljubljana Agreement more in general, but also while listening to you now, I realized that we mentioned, as you have correctly mentioned, the Urban Development Group, the Director General's Meeting for Urban Matters, the Urban Agenda Technical Preparatory Group. So I was wondering if you could tell to those of us who are not fully familiar with these bodies, what they are, who they represent, and what is their objective?
Yes, sure. I mean, the Urban Agenda Technical Preparatory Group, or what we usually referred to as UATPG. It is just one of the many, let's say, bodies of this intergovernmental discussion and that we are part of. But it's, let's say, the most technical. But then we also have the Urban Development Group, which is a body which just doesn't only include a few member states, commission and cities, but involves all the member states and all the stakeholders, and so local representatives and their associations, of course, in these intergovernmental discussions. So basically, to simplify, these are the officers, the head of unit that are in national ministries and that are following the urban agenda on behalf of their government or ministry responsible for urban affairs. Or for the Commission is the Department for Regional and Urban Policy, and so the desk officer or team leader that is following that. And for us, it's, well, it's either me or colleagues. And so this is more, again, an officer's level. And then there is the director general level, which is basically the director general of the ministry that is following the urban agenda and its developments. And so it's a level higher up. And on top of this, in this intergovernmental discussion on urban matters, there is also an yearly informal ministerial meeting, which brings together ministers from all over Europe, commissioner, and our political representative often our president, that brings them together to steer, let's say, politically, the development of intergovernmental cooperation on urban matters, which is mostly the urban agenda, but goes, of course, much more beyond. And with the Ljubljana Agreement, it also tries to include more discussions about, for instance, national urban policies, but also more discussions about the delivery of cohesion policy, more discussions about the implementation of the European Green Deal locally, and so how we can cooperate as European actors and how we can support cities delivering on all these aspects locally. And so these are, let's say, the bodies that have started to meet in 2016 with the Pact of Amsterdam, and so are meeting regularly. So I said one meeting for the informal ministerial, and then usually one meeting per presidency for the director generals, one meeting per presidency for the urban development group. And now with the Ljubljana agreements, we formalized also the urban agenda technical preparatory group meetings. So yeah, in a nutshell, these are the intergovernmental bodies in which we discuss and steer the development of the urban agenda, and we agree on the way forward.
Thanks a lot for your insights on what we should expect from the next phase of the urban agenda. Many of our members are probably already looking forward to this bright future, while some others may still be wondering about what will happen to the 14 partnerships of the previous phase. Will they continue? Or how are they supposed to feed into the teams as well as the governance of the next urban agenda?
You're right. I mean, I've mostly talked about the new phase and about these four new themes that hopefully will start 2022 and 2023. But as you rightly say, there are still 14 partnerships from the previous phase, and two of them are still definitely active and working on their actions and the implementation of these actions. But let's say that also the Ljubljana Agreement, with the Ljubljana Agreement, we made sure, as Eurocities also, we were very pushing for this very much, about ensuring that all the knowledge, all the recommendations, all the insights, and all the also networks that we developed in the first phase are not lost. And so we have been very clear about, together with new partnerships, starting a broader assessment also on the 14 previous partnerships and how we can build on those 14 themes to maybe develop new partnerships, maybe more targeted on specific topics. But also this assessment would only help creating new partnerships that build on these 14 ones, but also would help looking at where there are some opportunities of maybe amplifying the impact of some of the actions of a certain partnerships that maybe we could have developed a bit further. So I don't think that we will forget about the past 14 partnerships. And I think that in a way, throughout 2022, we will have a more clear idea on how we will still deliver around these themes in the future.
Very good to hear indeed that the amazing work that our member cities brought into the partnership won't be put on the side altogether. But now many of us are more interested in understanding what kind of themes to expect and how do we link with a broader framework of EU policies in which the urban agenda is embedded, like the new European Green Deal and the new Leipzig Charter. So, Pietro, could you please elaborate a bit more on this?
Yeah, sure. Thanks. I mean, as I said, there are these four new themes, and it's an incremental approach. As in the first phase of the urban agenda, we did not start with 14 partnerships. So we will start with these two first ones, which are about greening cities and sustainable tourism. And then probably in 2023, we will follow up with two new themes, which are the ones I mentioned before, equalities in the city and food. And so this is, let's say, already a strong basis to deliver on this new phase. But in 2022 and 2023, as I said, we will assess also previous partnerships, 14 partnerships, and look for additional themes. And we will do so by also connecting very much with city needs and pressing new priorities and challenges, as well as connecting with the new Leipzig Charter that, as I say, it will be our overarching and common EU strategy for urban development. And to connect very much with the policy cycle at the European level. I mean, we're still in this European context. So hopefully more will come. And I think as in this phase for these four themes, we will have a strong role. Now, going back to the four themes that are already in the Ljubljana Agreement, I think starting with sustainable tourism, I think this is a very interesting theme that many of our cities are already working on, and many of our cities are already struggling with. I mean, there are issues maybe that have to do with over-tourism and a difficulty in regulating tourism, but that's just one part of the history. There are some other cities that, on the other end, are trying to develop the tourism in their strategy further, but doing it in a sustainable way, and so are facing different challenges. Of course, in this partnership, we will try to focus on certain aspects. We will not focus on everything, and the ex ante assessment will help further define the partnership. But we can already agree that during the discussions and in the notes that were developed with strong support from Eurocities for these new themes, we already identified digitalization of the sector as one of the key issues to make tourism in cities resilient and sustainable in the future. And in particular, not only the ability of the sector to digitalize, but also the ability of city administration to govern the process of digitalization, of the digitalization of tourism. And also, of course, we are very much concerned about the environmental impact of tourism at city level. And so this is also an aspect that I think this partnership will be keen to look at more into detail. And just going back to the issue of cities administration trying to govern, let's say, digitalization processes, very clearly we had in mind the challenges that many cities are facing into regulating short-term rentals. And of course, the case of Airbnb and cities trying to, let's say, regulate Airbnb so that this does not result in an housing shortage, as well as in the development in a very abrupt and strong evolution of the fabric of city centers. This was something that we were really thinking about, but as I said, we would not I think limited to this aspect of sustainable tourism. So we're trying to have, of course, an integrated approach. And here it will be very important to bring together the different levels of government, because it's not possible to deliver on a sustainable tourism strategy at the local level without looking at the rules, for instance, for business to government data and data sharing that Europe sets. And at the same time, it is not also that easy for cities to implement the necessary investments and that would help also, for instance, creating a strategy to digitize tourism and to improve the skills and do upskilling for people working in the tourism industry at city level. But as I said, sustainable tourism is one of the two themes. The other one is greening cities. And greening cities, of course, it's super relevant with the European Green Deal. We know that cities are very ambitious and they really care about working in a very concrete way towards certain objectives to make their cities climate neutral as soon as possible. But this is not just to deliver on these targets, but it's also very much about improving the quality of life of citizens. And I'm sure most of you would agree with me that the COVID pandemic really gave a clear example of how important are public spaces and how important are green spaces. I mean, having a park next to your house probably made a difference to you during these challenging times. But of course, parks are not just good for the well-being and the quality of life of citizens during pandemics, but also in more normal times, there is quite a strong argument for more green spaces for the well-being of citizens. And as I'm sure many of you know, greening cities, bringing more green infrastructures at city level, it's not just about better quality of life, but it also helps deliver, for instance, on issues related to heat waves that cities face very often. So lowering temperature and during hot summers, for instance, and so helping adapt to climate change, to the climate crisis. At the same time, greening cities, it's also a way to improve energy efficiency of buildings. And so there are so many different aspects, not to mention biodiversity objectives for working for more green cities. And again, also on this one, I think you would agree with me that cities cannot always do it alone. There are many strategies and investments that need to be co-shared, co-implemented with national governments, but also there are important rules and important enablers that also the European level can put in place to enable the innovation, to enable cooperation for new solutions around greening cities. And also there are some frameworks, for instance, the one on biodiversity and, for instance, the forest strategy, which pretty much connect with the issue of greening cities. So these are just two of the themes. The other ones are equalities in the cities and food. I'm not going to go that much into detail. I can just assure you that these were themes that were strongly endorsed by all the stakeholders and that we as EuroCities put very prominently, because we are already working on those themes a lot and we see a strong potential to work in a partnership setup to deliver it. So we really hope that from 2023, we will also be able to work together on these other two themes.
You said previously that the urban agenda will be embedded in the broader European Urban Initiative. So I was wondering if you could tell us a bit more on this and also on how the urban agenda will be linked to other European programs and policies, such as the Horizon Europe missions on cities.
Yes, indeed. Very good point. What I said before about briefly about the urban agenda and being part of a broader framework on urban policy has to do with also this European Urban Initiative, which will be one program managed by the Commission, which will bring together different elements for developing new innovative practices. So basically, the European Urban Initiative will include what was before the Urban Innovative Actions, but at the same time, it will also provide a secretariat to support the urban agenda, and it will also provide much more capacity building and knowledge exchange opportunities and facilities and support to really connect cities with all that Europe is doing on urban matters. And so, of course, the focus would be on the urban agenda and then amplifying the impact of the urban agenda via new networks and connecting it also with new innovative actions, projects that can also contribute to implement those actions of the urban agenda. But at the same time, the European Urban Initiative will be about also connecting the urban agenda with cohesion policy investments. And so really also trying to implement the urban agenda also via locally, via stronger connection with investments via cohesion policy. So the European Urban Initiative should support all this and even beyond. I mean, the center stage is not just the urban agenda and how to make sure that the urban agenda connects with other things, but it's also about bringing together and creating a space for exchange and networking on also other relevant urban initiatives that are maybe managed via other programs such as Horizon Europe. I mean, you mentioned the mission on climate neutral and smart cities, and that's of course an important element that will be connected with the European Urban Initiative and that also will hopefully connect with the work of the new thematic partnerships. And of course, the Greening Cities partnership, I think, should be quite connected with the mission on climate neutral and smart cities. So the idea is, as I was saying, for us as Eurocities, we've really tried to push for an urban agenda that connects with many more initiatives. And I'm not saying that we were alone in doing this. The Commission was also supportive and member states were supportive of creating a more integrated approach for the urban agenda so that it can connect with other initiatives and to create a more comprehensive and dialogue and space where cities can find information, can exchange on all these important initiatives that the European level is carrying.
One last question before we go. We talked a lot about the European context, but I was wondering whether in the ongoing discussion you are considering making the urban agenda more relevant for local policymakers so that it can put a real mark into citizens' life. So are you thinking about any mechanism that work from the bottom up or any support for the implementation of actions on the ground?
Indeed, very good point. I mean, I think the urban agenda and the way we look at it, it's not just how we can influence European processes and European policies, but also how we can work to implement these European processes, this European vision for urban development locally. So of course, the local element, it's quite important. And so what I think we achieved in the Ljubljana Agreement is to highlight the importance of having strong national networks. And this, by the way, it's something that will be supported by the European Urban Initiative, that as part of this, its capacity building and knowledge exchange activities will provide a national contact point for the European Urban Initiative. And the role of this contact point would be exactly to amplify nationally and locally, of course, the impact of European urban initiatives, including the urban agenda. And so hopefully this will be an opportunity also to connect these national contact points with all the amazing things that the previous partnerships have achieved and have developed, and to make sure that local authorities, realities on the ground are aware of it and that they can learn from it. But at the same time, it would be very important that these national contact points establish a dialogue and an exchange on how this is relevant to the work of local authorities and give an opportunity for local authorities and city authorities on the ground to provide inputs, feedback, and also to maybe raise some inputs and some points to the EU level on things that should be tackled, on projects that should be supported, on challenges that they are facing in implementing certain EU policies, and that maybe they would like to discuss in a network on how to address them. So I think, of course, it's not going to be that easy, but I think we succeeded into putting in place some mechanisms that should at least facilitate a stronger impact on the ground, both top down and both bottom up. So fingers crossed. I think it will be also up to all of us that are part of the Urban Agenda community to make sure that we communicate what we are doing and what we have done, and we build this better multi-level dialogue.
So thank you, Pietro, for your insights during this conversation. I hope it has been interesting and useful for you too. That's all for now, and goodbye, and see you next time.
This has been a EuroCities podcast. Let us know what you thought by tagging @EuroCities or catch up with us on EuroCities.eu. Thanks for listening.